Love, the force that draws men and women together, remains one of life's greatest mysteries. When Pope John Paul II wrote Love and Responsibility in 1950s Poland, he couldn't have known how perfectly it would address the relationship challenges we face today. Unlike typical relationship books offering quick fixes, his approach dives deep into the human heart, examining what makes love authentic and fulfilling. This work has quietly transformed countless marriages, with counselors noting it changes how you treat your spouse on Monday morning. At its core, the book reveals a profound truth. Genuine love isn't primarily about what we feel. It's about how we choose to give ourselves to another person, honoring their inherent dignity and worth. Every human relationship must be built on what John Paul II calls the personalist principle, the fundamental truth that a person must never be treated merely as a means to an end. Each of us possesses inherent dignity, free will, and self-determination. Yet our culture has become saturated with utilitarianism, encouraging us to pursue pleasure and avoid pain, often treating others as instruments for our happiness. Drawing from Aristotle, John Paul II identifies three kinds of friendship: utility, based on mutual benefit; pleasure, based on enjoyment; and virtuous friendship, united in pursuit of the moral life. The first two are inherently fragile, dissolving when circumstances change. The key to preventing relationships from falling into utilitarianism is pursuing a common good together, something that transcends individual self-interest. When attraction sparks between men and women, two dynamics emerge: sensuality, physical attraction, and sentimentality, emotional attraction to masculinity, femininity. Both can serve as foundations for authentic love, but require proper integration. Unchecked sensuality reduces persons to objects of pleasure. Consider how classical art leads to contemplation of beauty, while pornography stirs desires for exploitation. Sentimentality, the emotional attraction between sexes, is natural, but shouldn't be the sole measure of love. Hollywood and social media perpetuate this misconception, portraying love as merely an emotion rather than a virtue requiring intentional development. Even physically chaste relationships can become exercises in emotional pornography when people use others for emotional gratification. The key is integrating both physical and emotional attraction into a mature love that values the whole person, body, mind, and soul. John Paul II distinguishes between love's subjective and objective aspects. The subjective side involves emotional and physical attraction, the butterflies and racing heart. While these feelings are natural, they're unreliable as a foundation. The objective aspect encompasses virtue, friendship, common goals, and selflessly seeking what's best for another through practical acts of service and sustained commitment, even when feelings waver. In self-giving love, each person surrenders themselves to the other, limiting their freedom by choice. This law of ecstasis means the lover goes outside the self to find a fuller existence in another. Though contrary to modern individualism, this approach brings deeper fulfillment. As John Paul II states, man finds himself only by making himself a sincere gift to others. While committing to another person limits individual freedom, it enables a greater freedom, the ability to love deeply and authentically. God gave us freedom not for self-indulgence, but to choose living for others. While half of marriages end in divorce, only 1 in 10 American married couples achieve emotional intimacy. John Paul II taught that personal communion in marriage requires mutual self-giving love and responsibility. In married love, two people give themselves completely to each other, creating profound responsibility for their partner's well-being and holiness. The greater the feeling of responsibility for the person, the more true love there is. When we accept our beloved as a gift, we treasure them with responsibility, seeking what's best for them above our own interests. Total acceptance creates the security needed for complete trust. These principles matter most during difficult moments. We should love the person complete with all his or her virtues and faults, and, up to a point, independently of those virtues and in spite of those faults. True love doesn't withdraw, but loves all the more, while not condoning faults. This total acceptance mirrors God's love, remaining committed despite our failures. Virtue isn't merely lacking in the modern world, it's actively resented. Living virtuously requires constant effort and self-denial as we battle against our fallen nature. Those unwilling to make sacrifices often resent virtues as mirrors reflecting their moral laziness. Chastity is perhaps the most resented virtue today, though it actually frees love from utilitarian attitudes and affirms the value of the person. Modern culture portrays it as psychologically harmful. Far from hindering love, chastity makes genuine love possible by protecting it from utilitarian attitudes. John Paul II warned against viewing chastity negatively as mere suppression of desire, one long no. Instead, chastity is primarily a positive virtue, a yes to the whole person that enables authentic love. The battle for purity is fought deep within the human heart. John Paul II identifies three stages: spontaneous sensual reactions, noticing someone attractive; sensual concupiscence, inner stirring of desire; and carnal desire, when the will consents. The threshold of sin is crossed when the will stops resisting and consents to pursuing pleasure, whether through thoughts, imagination, or actions. Isn't it liberating to realize that virtue isn't about suppression, but about freedom? Self-mastery enables us to give ourselves more fully to others, unhindered by the tyranny of our impulses. Expressions of affection, while beautiful manifestations of love, risk becoming merely utilitarian acts. John Paul II defines tenderness as entering into another's inner life and mental states. However, these gestures lose meaning when used primarily for self-gratification. Many relationships start with genuine friendship and conversation, but often shift toward physical intimacy while meaningful communication fades. In marriage, tenderness extends beyond physical expression. It requires sustained emotional commitment and creates an atmosphere of deep communication. True tenderness means feeling with and for the whole person, perceiving even their subtlest spiritual needs. Women, with their typically deeper emotional lives, particularly need tenderness from their husbands during significant life transitions, like pregnancy, childbirth, and career changes. This attentive tenderness, seeing beyond the surface to understand another's soul, has the power to transform relationships. Your single years are training ground for marriage's demands, developing generosity, sacrifice, and selflessness. To find lasting love, look beyond physical attraction to how potential partners treat others and whether they possess core virtues like prudence, courage, self-control, and kindness. For engaged couples, true marriage preparation happens internally. Married love isn't about romance, but about serving others together. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen noted, it takes three to get married: husband, wife, and God. Marriage reveals your limitations and pushes you beyond natural capacity to love. The mystery of love isn't just finding the right person. It's becoming someone capable of self-giving love that recognizes others' inherent dignity. In a world of transactional relationships, this offers a revolutionary alternative: love founded on responsibility, self-gift, and human dignity.